Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
You know how I know that you pray? Do you know how I know that you pray? Because I have got my guest on the line. Now, let me ask you something. What do you get when you mix a sharp financial brain, a heart for people, and a whole lot of energy? You get today's guest. Patrick Mhlari isn't just a financial advisor. He is a force. With over 13 years of experience, postgraduate degrees in accounting and financial planning, and a reputation for always putting his clients first, Patrick has become a trusted voice in a noisy, complex financial world. He currently serves as an independent advisor at FS4P Financial Services Professionals, where he's known for helping people not just understand their policies and products, but make smart, intentional decisions about their money, their tax implications, and their financial future. He's also the founder of MoneyBridge, a bold new platform for financial education. And when he's not demystifying insurance, investments, and wealth planning, you'll probably find him in the garden doing functional fitness or cheering on motorsports with his wife and kids. Today, we're diving deep into two strategies that are reshaping how people tackle debt: the snowball and the avalanche. And if you've been wondering, which one's for me? This conversation might just change your whole financial trajectory. Patrick, welcome.
Wow. Protection rings amongst the top I've ever had in the 13 years I've been around. Thank you for such a warm welcome. I was like, she's talking about me.
And
wow.
I okay. Am.
Wow. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much.
You
and
are
before we get going, ma'am, I just also in Sepedi, they say Madume hafele. So I think even congratulations. We can never say enough of, you know. So congratulations on your new gig as the official host now of Business Sense, you know.
You can so never kind. This is so kind.
Yeah. So I hope to be guided by your expertise today. So this is me in the flesh. Good evening to you and your listeners in Africa and the world over. I hope everybody is feeling blessed today.
We are so blessed to have you, and I can't wait for us to dig deep. So we'll start off with just helping people understand what's going on, right? We'll unpack the methods. Okay. We'll go into the psychology of debt a bit, and then we'll move from theory to transformation, how people can really change their lives. And then we'll wrap it up with the big picture. Okay. Are you comfortable with that?
100%.
Fantastic.
I'm comfortable with it.
Let's start with the metaphors. Why do you think these two debt repayment strategies are named after natural forces? I mean, the snowball and the avalanche. What do these images tell us about how each method actually works?
Wow. While reading on your bio, I never thought you had the gift to read minds, you know, because I was also thinking the same, you know. I was like, okay, let's look at it. And then now I looked at words in African languages. I'm like, well, this is interesting, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it just points out how powerful these strategies can be, you know. A force of nature, that force, I think it's powerful more than many forces man-made, you know.
Yeah.
So if you think of a snowball, you know, rolling down that hill, you know, that thing sounds so forceful, so powerful, you know, avalanche as well, you know. So I think whoever got the brief to name these two concepts did a wonderful job, in the sense that it does talk to the seriousness and the powerful strategies they both are, you know.
And I think also it just speaks to how in the beginning there is an initiating force, right? God sends rain, he sends snow, but at some point this whole thing takes on a life of its own. The snowball picks up from one flake, and then it's a ball that grows bigger and avalanche care. You cannot do anything. It just takes on a life of its own. And maybe that is the force
100%.
That we're speaking about.
100%.
In your experience, why is debt such an emotional topic for people? You know, before we even get to choosing a strategy, What mindset shifts need to happen for someone to face their debts with courage rather than shame?
Shame. You know, you're touching on a very, very serious aspect of that, you know, because my colleagues and I would sit there and be like, look how easy it is to get into that. You know, you log into your banking profile, /, click here. Most of us do click, you know, but why is it so shameful? Why is it so taboo? Why, like, why people don't like speaking about it, you know? And then I think that actually it's more perception, you know, it's more stigma. You'll hear, as I said, many noises in the financial space, people telling you, you took that loan, you're not wise, you know.
Yeah.
There's a better offering where. So I think it's still that stigma whereby there's no definitive answer as to for what reason must I take that for. You know, you read financial professionals, thought leaders in the space, they tell you there's good debt, you know. Good debt, you know.
And
and then they tell you and bad debt, you know, and then so if you don't understand that, it's kind of hard to reveal your position, you know. So I think it's that people do not know this thing called debt, you know. It's like, they'll laugh at me, a whole financial advisor who took a mashonisa loan, you know. Is that good debt? Is that bad debt? So that's my personal opinion. That's why I think people view debt the way they do.
Jeez. And now let's get into unpacking the methods, right? For someone who's hearing about these for the first time, how would you explain the snowball method and the avalanche method in a way that just clicks?
Okay, so I'll try my best. Alrighty. So I would say then, these methods, I think there's something we're not saying. I think let's start with, remember I put my clients first?
Yeah.
So let's start with the truth, right? So I don't think at any given time, an individual can be at liberty to exercise both, you know. Circumstances push us to choose one over the other. Sure. Let me elaborate. Yeah. So with the avalanche, right? So it said that we look at the loan with the highest interest rate, you know. So it assumes that we've got money. It assumes that our budget is surplus, you know.
Yeah.
The other one, snowball, that's kind of where the 90% of people that are in debt are, to say that we are nearing the summer over and that it, so there is no extra savings. We can't exercise avalanche. So, but before we go into the technicalities, just to recap, one is looking at my five loans, Peter, Paul, and the banks and the mashonisas, and look at the interest rate there and say, okay, this one has the lowest interest rate, you know, or this one is the smallest loan, right? I'm gonna hit this one first, you know, because usually the smallest loan actually has the highest rate, you know. So it's the amount, so the emphasis is on the loan amount, you know. I look at that and I say, maybe I can pay this by, you know, if I pay this first as opposed to my credit card, which is 100,000, or what I owe Peter, which is a lot of money, or Paul, which is another. Let me start with the smallest one, you know. And then, you know, we human being, we wired to feel good. So behavioral economics as well, or behavioral finance, say that people get a kick by, you know, the to-do list. Yes, I pay that off. I can do another one, you know. so that's where I would put the two. But just a bit more on the avalanche method, as I alluded to earlier, I think that one is more for people who've got some extra income or extra movement in their budget, because it requires us to pay extra. I'm not sure what the latest stats are, but I read a very interesting article some years back from Experian and the National Credit Bureaus, you know, to say that the average South African has 6 credit lines, you know, to say that in 5 days all that money is gone, so that we get as a salary, you know. So now with that in the background, I'm not sure how the outlook is internationally, but I'm sure it's similar. Everybody's crying about high interest rates, high cost of living, food prices, inflation, you know. So having said that, that's why I'm inclined to conclude or to You choose rather that the avalanche method is for you as a supplier. So Mpumi, maybe you're the person,
I receive. I receive. So if
yeah.
I'm understanding you correctly, you take all the debts that you have, right? From okay, and if you're considering the snowball method, you take from the least amount that you have to pay back to the highest amount. So if you've got a personal loan, you've got a car, you've got a house, the personal loan wants 2,000, the car wants 6,000, the house wants 10. With the snowball, you say, I will finish off the personal loan quicker so that I can take that money and snowball it down to the car and pay the money
To
that
the
I would
car.
have paid for the personal loan and the car into the car, making my installments even bigger. And then once I'm done with that, because when you pay more, you reduce the interest and you reduce the time, all of that money, so the 2,000, the 6,000, and now the 10,000 that was already going to the house, it now becomes 18,000 that goes to the house instead of just the initial 10. And that is how the snowball method works. Am I understanding you correctly?
100%. 100%.
Fantastic. And then Avalanche says we look at the highest interest rate first so we can pay it off, because high interest rate over time kills us, right? The
It
personal
is said,
loan.
so sorry to interject. Sorry to interject. It is said that compound interest can work for you or against you. In this case, it can work against you.
Hey, when you have debts, no, it really works against you. So we look at the one with the highest interest rates, and that is the one we pay off first. Whether it is the smallest amount or the biggest amount, we just tackle that one. Correct.
100%.
You also said we can't have a snow lunch, a hybrid model. It's either you choose the one or the other. And I guess that makes sense because the snowball focuses on momentum, the avalanche focuses
Momentum,
on maths, right? But real life is very, very messy. And I think, continue.
So I think then the snowball, it's a force that we can all look at, most people are looking at those stats from credit bureaus,
And I think the snowball helps because you mentioned it earlier that hit of excitement you get when you've paid off something. You're just like, hey, I don't have this debt anymore. Now I've got 5 out of 6, and you continue. So it really builds that momentum and that motivation as opposed to the avalanche, because you don't know when it might come to an end. Well, you will if you've got your stats there, but it could really take longer with the avalanche versus the snowball.
100%, 100%. And it said that the human investor is not rational, So obviously we look at our debt book and we're like, ah, that big one. Let's go for it. Even if your 2,000 rand loan is charged at 40% interest,
Sure. All right. So do you find that some personalities lean more naturally to one method than the other? For instance, is a snowball more suited for people who need quick wins to stay motivated, and the avalanche for those big, ambitious, and big goal? Why do they call them the BHAG? Big, hairy, audacious goal people.
Audacious goals. I think you're onto something there. You're onto something because when we tackle that or when we look at that, we studied at different levels or positions in life, So somebody is looking at that after adulting, to say, this thing of retail therapy and what, but
It's
let
not
me
gonna
look
work.
into savings. It's not gonna work. Let me look into savings. They come speak to a Patrick or his colleagues, and we tell them, no, pay off your debt first, but this person has been behaving like this for the past 10 years, so there's no way you're gonna say try the avalanche method. You wanna introduce it, the variable slower, so then the snowball will be suitable for that, and then you find people that have, funny enough, a credit card costing them 24% and a savings account giving them 10%, and then you're like, but it's costing you 14% of this arrangement, when it's all said and done, so those people are the serious ones, as you said, and they tell you, okay, let's pay off the big 24% first, So more personality, I'd say, where you are in your debt journey.
That's so interesting. And you're touching on something quite pertinent, because when we talk about debt repayment, we always talk about discipline. But what role does identity play? Do you believe people need to see themselves differently in order to behave differently with their money?
100%. I mean, you look at all the hacks that people have come up with, you know, some affluent markets times would tell us, no, they told me to pay myself first. I make so much money, but I'm spending so much money on consumables and stuff and you know, human beings telling you I'm working, but yo, 5 days I don't know where that money is, you know, and so forth and so on, you know. So definitely identity does play, or rather debt does have is interlinked to the way we see ourselves in relation to debt, you know. So, but I've seen a quick mental wins, man, from years in practice, you know. So for example, some people would tell you you know, the negative balance in your account, that's something that makes people even don't want to wake up sometimes, believe it or not, you know. They're like, you know. So the Leonard say the following. They say you let the debit or the party go on there, you know, and then you do what you have to do the last, you know. So most people pay day, like tomorrow is the 15th, some people are getting paid already, you know, e-cards, you know, full, I'm ready to settle my card and check out, you know. But then come the 20th, I'm already negative. Imagine now, psychologically, and the way I see myself, I identify, so I wanna be like, so having said that, the timing at which we make payments can assist in that, you know. So you don't have to get a big job as a CEO, you know. Just change when you do things, you know. Just change when you feel sad, you go to a shop and get soul-soothing food, you know. So, yeah, things like that do. If you change your thought pattern, I think we can get quick wins on that.
I love that you're so practical. And, you know, you bring up something that I think will be very beneficial for everyone. Can you share a story with us? It can be anonymous if needed, of a client who used either method and saw a complete turnaround in their financial life. What is it that clicked for them that gave them those results?
Okay. So, let's talk about a client that wanted to invest, you know.
Okay.
A client that had a health scare and said, I know, let me change my lifestyle. And then, but for me to do that, hold my hand, let's invest, you know. Yeah. So, first of all, listeners of your show would remember me as Mr. Budget. So, I'm very passionate about that thing called a budget, you know. So, it's so fundamental. It's so important, you know. So, some of them will say, okay, let's do a budget. I'm talking of a highly learned person, in my opinion. So somebody who knows the risks, you know, so somebody who a court would consider reasonable, you know, not layman. So budget said there's a deficit of negative 8,000 rand at the time, you know, based on what he was. Yeah, monthly, but this person wanted to invest 5,000, you know.
Okay.
With us. So the advisor was like, no, let's first start clearing some debt. Let's invest real money, you know. As I said, no use you investing at 10% and paying 24%, you know. So, yeah, it was a bit foreign at first, but we sat down and I said, look, your credit card with that lovely bank of yours is costing you 22% at a time.
Yeah.
The highest interest rate I've seen, I think, for this investment you want to make, it's about 12%.
Sure.
So you've got a 10% that we have to find. So how about we first pay off the credit card, you know? And the person said, no, how am I going to pay off 120,000, you know? It's a lot of money, you know? It's a lot of money. But there were, I won't mention the company names, but other companies that he had credit lines with, you know? So what we did, we took simple Excel spreadsheet. We've got nice tools, but believe it or not, a simple tool like Excel, said, okay, this is my debt. And on my debt, this is my credit card, my house, my car, my loans that I took for personal responsibilities. I earn 48,000, but my loans, I service them for around 57. You
Oh.
know, yeah. So already there's a shortfall. So
Yeah.
what do we do? So we said, okay, let's see the one that we can get rid of quickly, and it was a retail loan. You know, so we saved 500 from that exercise, 500 and what, and then we took that 500, added it to the personal loan.
Yeah.
So instead of paying X, he paid 500 more. That killed about 18 months from the agreement in terms of that. And
Patrick, sorry,
the one
before you
thing,
continue, where did the money come from? Because this person was at a deficit of 8,000. So where did
yes.
the money come from?
Okay, so it's the arrangement of like, and it's a real life thing, né? Of
Yeah.
banking with Bank X and then having credit lines with Bank Y.
Okay.
So we, not we, but some cases we see, you see that the shortfall is funded by credit lines from different banks. Because obviously, I think all banks know our profiles,
Yeah.
whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
They know our Mpumi is bankable, you know, looking at what
Yeah.
she does, yeah, and stuff. I can extend the 5,000 yana there, you know. But yeah, so that's where that money came from.
Interesting.
Yeah, so but when you look at the net effect is that there's an 8,000 shortfall. Yeah, from salary. Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
not talking
yeah.
about bankability.
Got
Yeah.
it.
So yeah. So that's what we did up until a point where as I saw myself getting lost in technicalities, thanks for bringing me back. But yeah, we followed more or less what you said about the snowball, you know, to say, okay, now there's extra five, then we don't need the other bank's money. And then there's a spouse as well who I went back there once in a while, you know. But
Yes.
people make a plan, you'll be
Please.
shocked. You'll
Allowance
be
is
shocked.
very
So
important. Very important, that thing.
the drift, you know. So yeah, so that's why with that. So a person like that, you could never say do an avalanche. It's the same question you'd ask me, would you be happy, man? Where does the money come from?
So, what common mistakes do you see people make when they try to implement these strategies on their own? And I'm asking this because you said this guy approached you to say, yo, hold my hand. You know, I'm supposed to know how to do this thing, but clearly I can't. I'm an expert in the field that I work in, not here. So, what have you seen people make as mistakes, grave mistakes, because they just want to go on this journey alone?
Yeah. So in financial behavioral finance, right, we speak about biases, né?
Yeah.
So to summarize it nicely for you, I've seen a couple of biases come to play. You know, I'll give you an example. COVID, I was friends with a lot of people, you know. We're mostly working from home, so people are like, yeah, we're doing this. I'm not spending money on petrol, so I've got
Doable.
extra money, you know. So let's do this. So you start, when are you telling people about 6%,
Yeah.
10% there, and then markets crash. And then those that have eyes see an opportunity and they invest, eh? So you saw DIY investors go off the roof, you know, like,
Yeah.
And then they tell you, no, I don't need you, you know, you guys are no. And then the same stock market that gave them the money loses all its money, and all of a sudden it's like, yo, I no, Bengala, I actually need you. I was joking, you know.
Also, I can see
Yeah,
they are
so
experts on TikTok.
you know,
Yeah.
but I'm glad the regulator is moving swiftly to give people assurance. You can't just talk on the topic
Yeah.
without being, yeah, educated on it, you know. But at that time, yes, at that time, you're correct, you know.
Sure. And beyond getting people
So,
out of, sorry, continue.
yeah. So, okay. So, yeah, excuse me for that. So, the great mistake that I saw them do is having a confirmation bias, you know. Bumi bought a tech stock and it made 100%. So
Yebo. It will work
yeah,
for me
I'm
too.
following it. Yeah, Patrick guy is an advisor of old, you know. He's gonna give me 5%, you know. So just to cement what I said now with a quick thing, in 1954, the first recorded person to climb Mount Everest, Muhilari, but guided by Tinzeng, you know.
Yeah.
And then even somebody doing something like that needed a guide, you know.
For
So it
sure.
doesn't have to be me. Yeah, it doesn't have to be me. It has to be a professional who's seen this movie before, as our ex Bafana Bafana said, you know. So the importance of a guide, never discount that. I know they speak technical, sometimes boring, not what you want to hear, but their experience comes in very, very, very important. You know, there's a looming stock crash that's about to happen, or it's been happening, you know, international relations. I had the worst you've ever seen them. S&P 500 dropped so rapidly, but also gained 9.5% in the same period it dropped. But most people DIY'd
Yo.
and said, no, I'm selling, it doesn't happen. But then 7 days it draws 9.5%, 9.25%, the highest it's ever been in
Wow.
history, no? So without a guide, without a professional,
Yeah.
how do you know that?
Yeah.
How do you know how markets react in a crash or in a crisis, you know?
And the truth is, because money and debt is so emotional, even the decisions we will make are going to be very emotional instead of rational and logical. So it makes sense to me why you'd need somebody who is not as emotional as you, because it's not their money, but they care
100%.
about you and the outcome of what you want to do with them, so they can advise you properly on what to do with that money. And also, the truth is, even if you read a book about how to climb Mount Everest, you won't climb. You will have all the information. Oh, you'll have all the information. But if you don't have those practical tools and somebody holding your hand and guiding you, you are never going to see your blind spots. So I'm happy that you highlighted that.
100%.
And earlier you
Thank
spoke
you. Thank you for,
about how when somebody looks at their banking app and they see that negative balance, they don't even feel like waking up, because, oh my goodness, you just feel like you're sinking into a hole, right? I want to hear from you about people who have gotten out of debt. What is the kind of transformation that you've witnessed outside of just getting out of debt? What happens to a person's mental health, to a person's social life? What happens to somebody who has paid off the debt and is now able to look at life and face the world differently? What opens up for them?
Okay, so firstly, I know it's weird, but some people I've met, let's say 24 times over this 12 years I've been, you know, some I've been fortunate to see great shapeshifters, you know, people that were in debt to start a business, by the way, good debt, you know, going back to that. So
Good
there
debt.
are millions, millions, millions of debt, you know. Their posture during those times was that of a crouched man, you know,
It
or
makes
woman at
sense.
times. Yeah. And
Yeah.
then fast forward to when the company starts making profits or the debt pressure is reduced, you see how I never knew you had this. I never knew your shoulders like this. You know, Muntiatlo, you know, seriously, like that's the first thing you just see, you know, that's the first thing you just see. So part of the work I do, I work with people that have got Section 18A organizations, you know. So yeah, you'll see them. Sometimes I'll ask 200 for somebody who's donating water in Hammanskraal crowd during that time, you know. And then they'll be like, no, 200, what are you gonna do with 200? Make it 2000 at least, you know. And then yeah. So you see them more generous, you know, you see them more giving. But then I just want to say that the one thing that I see, the one thing that I see the most, the story goes like this, right? To say, I can't believe how much I was paying for X item, you
Oh
know?
my, because it opens
And
your
then
eyes.
it opens your eyes, you
And
know,
maybe
and
it's
then
because now that same amount of money is doing something more and something more important than
100%.
what looked like insignificant, because you're giving it to somebody else, even though in the beginning you took all their money.
Oh, yeah, but so yeah, I see a different outlook all the time, all the time. And then they're able to do more. They're able to do more for the community, you know. Yeah, so I yeah, that one. But I'm just saying that I guess if we just let go, of the idea that we have to toil for this image,
Sure.
I think that's the biggest thing, I was with another client who used to be a four-ring fan, Odie,
Yes.
and then now she downgraded to a different or German manufacturer, but way cheaper, and she's like, ah, they're the same, these things, at least now I've got money for experiences, so letting go of those expectations might end us a bit for experiences and the philanthropic work that we do.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that even though she believes or she feels that the cars are the same, what's different is her disposition,
100%,
her experience of
100%,
life, the quality of her life is improved because now she can breathe
100%,
better without that burden
100%.
on her shoulder. I've got two more
Yeah.
questions for you and then we'll wrap this up because I do want people to know where they can find you and how they can make
Okay.
use of your services. But before then, in a world where debt is normalized, do you believe becoming debt-free is still a realistic or even a necessary goal for most professionals? Is it something we should aspire to?
Yes, the short answer. And
Yeah.
then for even more reason that for even more the reasons that you just said, to say everybody's just clicking onto that, we onboarding, so I think especially if you have kids, I've met professionals or clients
Yeah.
that tell me, look, that is just a number, increase life cover, increase
Oh
whatever, if I go on,
my.
it'll pay off, but the thing I'm saying is if you've got kids and dependents, one rent out is one rent less for them,
Oh.
so so let's be cautious of the debt that we take, so even if you don't have kids at 21, at 26, wherever you are in life, even older than that, remember that when you're taking debt, essentially we are robbing our future self,
This is so
because we have to
true.
save us. Yeah, we have to
Yeah.
save us that debt.
Now,
Yeah, we have to.
this one I'm very excited about. So let me give you a bit of a confession. So in
Okay.
2021, I paid off my car. I was so
Yeah.
happy. And then you know what I did after
Yeah.
that? I went and got braces.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the same, no, well, not the same because braces are a lot cheaper, but now the money that
Yeah.
was used for the car, now some of it goes
Yeah.
to the braces and I'm so excited. But I'm wondering, once someone is debt free, what's the next smart move to make? And for me, let me also qualify this because I am a speaker
Yeah.
and I was very
Yeah.
insecure about my teeth and how I present on stage. I was like, I don't want my teeth to be the reason I don't deliver an excellent speech, right? So for me, the
Yeah,
braces was an investment to my career. But I'm wondering, for
100%.
other people, once they are debt free, what's the next smart move? How do they keep the momentum going and avoid falling back into the old patterns?
Okay, so I'm sure though the investment, before I go, the investment that you made, I'm sure the return on it is tenfold. Eh? I'm sure you're more confident.
The
I'm sure.
braces are still on. Yo.
Yeah.
Yo. No, but the teeth are shaping up and I'm
Yeah.
very happy. I smile more.
God bless those dentists, eh? Or those orthodontists,
Hey, God,
yeah.
they eat our money.
Yeah, they studied a lot. They studied there for a long time. So let them charge, But then back to your question. So the thing about financial dependence, or rather, if you were to ask me, Uti, what's the goal, like, somebody asked me in Sepedore, shouldn't we make ourselves happy, can
Yeah.
they? If I reach zero, what else do I need? So it goes back to your why, why are you waking up at 4:30 every day and sleeping at 11? There's no other way of leaving Earth, except via death, the space I'm in shows me that I see people leaving their high-end companies, assets, and people that take over, not even doing appreciating them like they did, So it starts there. It starts with your why. But I read a bit on you. I think for you, it's about the influence. It's about repurposing those employees. So obviously, whatever you do will be linked to a purpose. So Well, with most people, we start off on a negative when we get from varsity. Koni nefsas, Baba took out money, mommy took out money. Expectations, Mpumi's a PhD in engineering, she must do something, So most of us start off on a negative. So the debt that we save is that we contemplating, we're trying to pay first. Sometimes it's as real as that, it's as real as money to go to school or keep my younger siblings at school or even keep the lights and food in the house. So I guess in where I'm seated, that will be good things, So sometimes you have to pay off that, before you start your life,
For
you know.
sure.
So once you paid off that, some people it's not that, some people it's a good life problems, I call them. You worried about your many bonds and your many cars, After you pay those, though, we've got a responsibility to leave what we have better for the next generation, That's my belief. So let's acquire assets, Let's not have a situation where we are knowledge rich, cash rich, but we don't have assets, So most of us are paycheck away from being broke,
Listen.
So yeah, so if you ask me why should I now have to carry on this path, if you're paying 18,000 for your debt and you snowballed or you avalanched and now you're on zero, you've got extra 18,000, invest that 18,000. Invest it. Your next goal should be let me invest it in assets that will replace my income. Let me go to work because I want to, not
Yes,
that I have to be paid.
not because I have to. That's so
Yes, ma'am.
powerful. Now, here's the thing that happens with people, right? We can hear someone talk
Yeah.
and not
Yeah.
even realize what time, and this is somebody that I need. And so I want you today
Yeah.
to talk to somebody who would be very helped by your services. So anybody who's listening, who should this message click to, and who's the person that should be checking your LinkedIn or calling your number after this conversation?
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. Boom. So I would say everybody who's got a burning money question, everybody who wants to share their wisdom with me, anybody who wants to share a story of how they got out of debt, and then for future conversations I could use them, please reach out to me. But before I give out my details, I just want to say I do not work alone. The work is plenty, so I joined with a couple of colleagues, but one person that I'd like to share my context together with is my office direct associate, So we're on the same level. He's not what I do, he does, so he tends to help me with the work that we get. So okay, my LinkedIn, it's Patrick Mhlari. I checked, there isn't a lot.
I checked too.
Yes. So I think you'll find me there. And then I started the venture as now an independent financial advisor. So for the past 12 years, I've been taking care of professionals, Abompumi, who have studied, and but now I realize that financial education, first and foremost, it's a need for all of us. There's people with money. If you look at the trends of what happens to beneficiaries, it shows you those people they need you more
They
than
blow
the
it.
person who left them the mouth. They blow it, So hence the call, hence my urge to answer the calling to say, no, God, really, I'll do financial planning for all, So our platform, MoneyBridge, is under construction. Will be live in 2 weeks. I
Love
was
it.
told before the show. And then but to contact me, 072-822-0054.
Absolutely love it. Patrick, thank you for breaking this all down with so much clarity and so much conviction, because that's all I heard from you, conviction. You're not only giving us strategy, you've given us hope. Because debt doesn't have to be a life sentence, I believe. I know it can be jarring. I know it can feel like such a dark hole and people can't come out of it, but it doesn't have to be a life sentence. It can be a chapter we close, but you've told us that we have to do it with intention, with consistency, and with the right tools and people in your corner. And to everyone who's listening, I just want to say, whether you're starting from a snowball, or starting with a snowball, or you're charging forward with an avalanche, the most important move, I believe, is starting. We cannot wait for the perfect
100%.
moment because it doesn't exist. We have to create it. And as always, Patrick, because I know you're a regular of the show, thank you so much for joining us. You know,
thank you so much for the listeners and good and say you made it easy. You made it easy for me to be me, you know. So thank you for that, and God bless your journey into this a conquest you want to, you know.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to chatting more with you. Thank you.
Off the Money Bridge has gone live. You have to come back.
I have to. I never forget my day.
You have to come back. Yeah, maybe this time with a freestyle topic where you share the education you believe is most pertinent in that moment.
Do you have 100%. A deal? We have a deal. We have a deal. And witnesses.
And witnesses. So you can't run away from me.
Yeah. No. I won't.
Patrick, you are so fantastic. Thank you so much. We'll chat again very soon.
Chat soon, ma'am. Keep on and God bless.
Cheers. If this conversation sparked something in you, please share it with a friend. Please share it with a friend, because I really believe that it was so amazing. You know, I love people with insight, because they don't just answer questions. They answer what isn't asked in the question that was asked. They answer what you could be asking, because I'm just one person who doesn't have all the answers, who wouldn't know what you're thinking. But because they've got experience, they've got all this knowledge, they're able to come at every angle to cover all the bases so that I'm answered, you're answered, and everybody else is answered. And maybe even the people they couldn't answer at some point in their journey get answered by that. So if this really sparked something in you, share it with a friend. Have that money conversation you've been avoiding with yourself or with your partner or with the person you owe or the bank that you owe. Please have that uncomfortable conversation and promise me that you will take one small step toward your financial freedom today. I know I will. After this information and the motivation, I know that's definitely something that I will do. And remember this before we close the show. You don't just work for money. No. You shouldn't just work for money. Your money should work for you. Okay? That was our interview. That was our snowball versus avalanche method. It will be available on the podcast. And if you don't believe me, listen to this.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.